From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, the particle at the end of the universe, an incredible story. Well, we had our Coast to Coast chat tonight with the Coast Insiders, had a great time, just passed on some great information and a number of guest ideas for the future. Coast Insiders, part of coasttocoastam.com. Here's what's happening. Residents of the state of Louisiana have filed an online petition with the White House to secede from the United States, and now residents in at least 39 additional states have filed similar requests with the White House to peaceably break away from the Union. In a moment, Drew Zahn joins us from WorldNet Daily. It's an incredible story about what might be happening here in the United States. But what's happening in Mississippi? The state where babies are less likely to reach their first birthday than in any other state, according to the most recent data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. For every 1,000 Mississippi babies born in 2011, 9.4 died from their very first birthday, according to state health office. That makes Mississippi's infant mortality rate more comparable to countries such as Costa Rica, Sri Lanka, Botswana. Mississippi leads the nation in obesity. That could be a major factor, which can carry a host of complications that might affect the baby, such as hypertensive disorders, according to doctors there. An Arizona woman in despair at the re-election of President Barack Obama ran down her husband with a family car in suburban Phoenix on Saturday because he failed to vote in the election. The 28-year-old woman was arrested. He's in critical condition at a local hospital. A Tulsa man has been arrested after police found his 18-month-old daughter locked in a metal dog cage and the older daughter outside on a cold afternoon while he was asleep in a drug or alcohol-induced stupor. A Canadian man who was believed to have been in a vegetative state for more than a decade has now been able to tell scientists that he is not in any pain. It's the first time an uncommunicative, severely brain-injured patient has been able to give answers clinically relevant to the care. Well, if you're into technology, you're going to love this story. The storage capacity of hard disk drives could increase by a factor of 5 thanks to processes developed by chemists and engineers at the University of Texas at Austin. The researchers' technique, which relies on self-organizing substances known as block copolymers, were described this week in an article in Science. It's also being given a real-world test run in collaboration with one of the world's leading innovators in disk drives. Lauren Weinstein with us, expert on all these things. Well, computers just keep getting better and better and better, Lauren.
Yeah, and this story really, really is amusing because I remember when I started working with these systems at UCLA, the disk drives that we had, for like a 100 megabyte, we're not saying gigabyte, disk drive, was considered really, really large. And they cost about $100,000. And they were the size of like an oven with the disk pack being over a foot, a foot wide and a big, it looked like a big cake holder, actually, with lots of platters in it. And now we're talking about this kind of technology. And what they're really saying with this polymer system that they've developed is they're trying to get out from under some fundamental limits in physics when you're talking about magnetism. You make the particles smaller and smaller and smaller. Eventually, they won't hold their magnetic state anymore. They flip between 0 and 1 uncontrollably, and that isn't really good for storing data. So this new technique may allow, and so far it's testing out pretty well, apparently, to get maybe 5 times now, who knows how much later, more capacity by using new styles of techniques that don't rely on the traditional magnetic methods. So really, really the sky's the limit. The other thing that's interesting about this is that while everyone's very interested in solid-state memory, mm-hmm. memory cards and things, and you always hear people saying, well, these are going to completely replace disks. And in some applications, they are, especially big data centers and things like that, and small consumer devices too. We keep seeing the capacity of disks getting bigger and bigger and bigger also, and on a cost-per-bit basis, disks continue to be the winner. So I think we're going to keep seeing these spinning disks around for a long time to come.
All right, Lauren, thank you so much. It's great technology, and eventually I'm sure it'll be added to smartphones as well. As I mentioned, residents in 40 states now, they want to secede from the union. We're going to be talking with Drew Zahn about that in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Drew Zahn, a reporter, of course, with one of the news editors at WND.com, the nation's largest independent online news source, a graduate of Bethel University in St. Paul, Minnesota. Drew is a former pastor who cut his editing teeth as a member of the award-winning staff of leadership. And he's with us now to talk about this incredible story he wrote for WND, Secession. Drew, this is an amazing story. How are you, by the way? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing very well. Thank you for talking to me this evening.
So we've got, first of all, this is not mandated by the state governments. These are individuals. These are citizens of the states who are signing a petition that the White House has made available. Tell me about all that, that process.
Well, the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, one of the lesser known rights that it gives us is the right to petition the government for grievances and so forth. And what happened was, some time ago, the Obama White House established a web page to help people do this. Basically, you know, register on the web page and you can create a petition inviting other people to sign it to petition the government. And basically, what the White House has done is said, well, if they can get 25,000 signatures, online signatures, to these petitions, then they pledge to put it in a list of questions that they will pledge to answer. Starting there, the day after the election, a guy down in Louisiana, all we know is his name is Michael E. We don't have his full name because it's not available on the website. He's from Slidell, Louisiana. The day after the election, he decided to file one of these petitions. And the petition he filed was that the state of Louisiana, where he lives, would be permitted to peaceably secede from the union. Now, that's where it started.
Okay, now...
From there. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we've had similar things happen on this program. We had a guest who had a petition on for UFO disclosure, as a matter of fact, and, you know, they tried to get the petition, and they had one that got enough, but the White House kind of like shoved it under the door. Do they have, if they get they've got enough signatures here, Drew, will the White House do anything with this or just toss it away?
Well, the White House has pledged to put it on a list of things they will answer. Will they actually follow through on that pledge or not? Well, I suppose that depends on how much trust you have in the Obama administration.
All right, now for actual states to secede from the union, what must they attempt to do?
Well, there's actually, and I was doing a bit of research on this prior to the show, there's three different ways that a state could theoretically leave the union. Two of them are not really controversial. Through the years, Supreme Court decisions and various presidents and scholars agree that two of these are perfectly legal. One is for the other states to let the seceding state go. Another way is for violent revolution, like what we did in the American Revolution, 1776. Mm-hmm. But then there's this third way, and this is a much more controversial, and that's the issue of secession. Can a state actually just say, that's it, we don't want to be part of the United States anymore? That's quite a bit more controversial. It's been debated in the early 1800s. It was debated even before that with the writing of the Constitution, the Articles of Confederation before that. And obviously we had a real big debate in the country right about 1860 on the topic, fought a war over it.
Well, we sure did. You know, we saw what happened many years ago with the Soviet Union, where the countries that they all had kind of broke up and the entire thing fell apart. Do you think that government would allow any of the states to secede?
Well, I sure don't think they would like, you know, I don't think they would be willing to. I think you're going to see the current administration, I imagine, this is my speculation, but I think they're going to punt on this. I think they're going to try to, as you said earlier, shove it under the rug and ignore it. However, it's getting harder and harder to ignore. There are, by last count earlier this afternoon, there were over 530,000 signatures cumulatively on these 40 different states' petitions. They're wanting to secede peacefully. Now, this is what makes it interesting, though, because they are asking the federal government. They are asking for a peaceful secession. And so that really kind of falls under that third category that everyone agrees in terms of Supreme Court decisions and so forth is perfectly legal, and that is if the federal government will let a state go.
Drew, in your opinion, tell me about the unrest, the unhappiness that would even have residents even consider wanting this to happen.
Well, one of the clues we have to what's going on is the wording of some of the petitions themselves. Take, for example, and I'm going to grab this quick and okay. quote it directly, the Texas petition, which, by the way, is the one that has the most signatures. I'm going to actually quote it here, what the Texas petition says. It says, the U.S. continues to suffer economic difficulties stemming from the federal government's neglect to reform domestic and foreign spending. The citizens of the U.S. suffer from blatant abuses of their rights, such as the NDAA, the TSA, etc. Now, given that the state of Texas maintains a balanced budget and is the 15th largest economy in the world, it's practically feasible for Texas to withdraw from the Union. And to do so would protect its citizens' standards of living and resecure their rights and liberties in accordance with the original ideals and beliefs of our founding fathers, which are no longer being reflected by the federal government. End quote. Now, there's several clues in there. One, they talk about the finances. We're looking at a lot of people in this country who are seeing that $16 trillion debt, are seeing our value of our dollar being, you know, trashed. We're seeing future generations being saddled with a debt that doesn't look like it's payable, that are seeing our national sovereignty because of that financial debt being ceded out to China and to other places. And then when they talk about later in there, they talked about the original ideas and beliefs of our founding fathers resecuring our rights. We've obviously had a big controversy in the country just recently with religious rights and Obamacare infringing on that. And that's really a fundamental right. You know, it's one thing to argue about some of the finer points, but when we're talking about the freedom of religion, we're talking about the freedom of speech. I mean, these are the First Amendment-type rights, and those are going to become contentious. Those are going to get trampled upon. Those are the very kinds of things that led the men and women in 1776 to do something drastic.
This is an amazing story, Drew. Let's use Texas again as an example. So if for some strange reason they seceded, all the federal, let's say, gasoline taxes that they pay in Texas, they wouldn't have to pay to the federal government, right?
Well, if they were able to successfully do it, you're absolutely right. Those taxes wouldn't even exist in the state of Texas anymore. Texas would essentially have to rewrite whatever gasoline taxes they may or may not want to have. And if they did continue with the gasoline taxes, they would stay in Texas. They certainly wouldn't go to D.C.
Would they be a separate company? I mean, would our country, would it be the country of Texas?
That is exactly what they would be, yes.
Amazing. Truly strange story. Now, give me the odds. Do you think this could happen?
Well, one of the things, you know, I don't think that in 1860, the people suddenly in South Carolina, which was the first state to secede, I don't think they suddenly, you know, woke up in 1860 and had a meeting and got together and somebody raised their hand and said, I think we should secede. And then everybody else said, oh, okay, never thought of that one before, let's do it. That's not how it happened. They were talking about secession. They had citizen petitions just like this in regards to secession years, decades ahead of time. It started small, and it bubbled and it bubbled and it bubbled until we had the election of 1860, which was essentially the last straw, and the people voted to secede. Now, what we have right now, basically, are, well, as of this afternoon, 533,000 bubbles.
It's a slow burn, isn't it?
Well, it's got to start somewhere if it's going to happen. And what we're seeing is those seeds, those early warning signs, those first steps are happening.
Let me ask you this, Drew. I mean, it was a close election in terms of the popular vote. The president, of course, outdistanced Mitt Romney there, came up strong at the end, was very strong with the electoral votes. So, but we're still a country divided. You know, it was very, very close. It wasn't 50-50, but again, pretty darn close. So are we talking about a public relations move here by the 50% of the citizens of this country who are just unhappy with the fact that their person did not win, and so they're just doing this? They're signing the petition?
I think that that trivializes it, and I think that also misrepresents it. It's not just a PR move, and it's not just about people unhappy with one election. We can look back, and really you look all the way back to 1860 and before, there is a pattern of a federal government growing bigger and stronger and more invasive and more intrusive, growing more and more irresponsible in terms of how it manages the things that are entrusted to it. And that those are the major issues that these petitions are bringing up. I didn't see a single petition that said Barack Obama, you know, won and our guy lost, so we want out. I don't see that.
Okay.
What I see them saying is our rights are being trampled upon. Our country is no longer operating under the constitutional guidelines that was set up for, And so we believe that, and then they quote the Declaration of Independence. And that's where you start to realize that there's something else going on here.
What would happen?
Election, but
well, here's a bizarre question. Let's say Texas secedes. Let's say China wants Texas. They send in an army. What are we going to do about it as a federal government? Let's assume Texas is the only state that's done that. I mean, what's going to happen? Are we going to let China move in and take over Texas?
Well, if Texas were to become a separate nation, then the United States would have to interact with Texas like they do any other foreign nation. There would be a foreign policy. And we have certain allies around the world. For example, if China pulled that same maneuver with Great Britain or with Israel right now, I imagine the U.S., military would have something to say about that.
That's true.
I would assume that Texas would be, especially given its proximity, considered an ally of the U.S. That seems like smart foreign policy to me. So, yes, Texas would be required to, if they're going to be their own country, they've got to have their own army for self-defense. But at the same time, the U.S. would be there. I mean, the U.S. got awfully upset when the Russians tried to come into Cuba. So if the Chinese tried to come into Texas, I imagine that'd be a problem, too.
And I agree with you, Drew. I think what this is a slow burn that could create an issue, not today, but sometime tomorrow. And I think if the federal government doesn't recognize the concerns of the people, something's going to happen down the line. Would you think that would probably be the case?
I think your assessment is spot on. These issues continue to get worse in many respects. They're not getting better. And that means that people are going to begin looking to more and more significant ways of speaking out, of taking action. And right now they're petitioning the White House. What is that going to get? Well, at most, that's going to get a response from the White House, which really isn't that big of a deal. But if that response that it is received is incredibly unsatisfactory, then I wouldn't be surprised if these same petitioners turn around and go to their state legislatures. Now, once you start doing that, now you're moving the ball down the field. You're rolling the snowball a little bit here, and you could see more and more things happen if this sentiment, if this belief that the federal government is trashing the Constitution and violating civil rights, is violating God-given fundamental rights, you've got basically, again, the seeds of the same spirit that fueled the revolution of 1776.
All right, we're going to take some phone calls with you, Drew. When we come back, I want you to react to this story. If you want to read the story, we've got it linked up at coasttocoastam.com. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Drew, if you have the list, it might be easier to tell our listeners the 10 states that haven't had people sign a petition. Do you have that, or do you need me to read all 40?
Well, you know what I might just do is recommend people visit the site and see for themselves, because it's been updating. You know, since I wrote this article, it's possible even more states are added. So I would recommend people visit petitions.whitehouse.gov. There you can see a list of the open petitions, and there's 100 and some petitions on there. At least 40 of them are these states.
You know, with a president, of course, who is going to, you know, play out his remaining 4 years, you know, maybe the first term this would have affected him. I'm not sure now it would. What do you think?
Well, you know, some have called this president sort of Teflon. You know, there's a lot of things that could stick to him that seem to slide right off. So I don't see that these petitions themselves are going to, you know, sort of rock the foundations in Washington.
Right.
The question is what's going to happen when these 500,000 people, or however many signed these not by now, start getting active, start feeling like their voices aren't being heard. You know, what's going to happen? I imagine it was a lot fewer than 500,000 who started that first revolution back in 1776.
Should they be petitioning their legislatures rather than the White House?
Well, if they want to see action, yeah, ultimately that's the direction you have to go. I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of movement out of the White House. But if you have a state where the rumbling starts getting serious, then you might see some kind of more significant response. You might see a state actually, you know, make some sort of movement. But you're right, it's at the state level that you're probably going to see something tangible actually happen.
Okay, let's get your reaction or your questions. Let's go to Carl, truck driving in Texas on the wild card line. You're first. Hi, Carl. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I just wanted to say, you know, people, when we were in school, we were taught, you know, slavery was the issue of the Civil War. Actually, the first states that seceded from the Union seceded because their taxes were going to Washington and the representation was not there. They weren't getting any benefit. Actually, Lincoln, the first general that he wanted to lead the Northern Army to make the states come back into the Union was General Lee, and he was from Virginia. And General Lee sent a letter back and said, this is the act of a madman, basically. I'm paraphrasing. But, you know, what person would send troops against its own citizens, you know? I mean, that's the thing we've been taught, you know, that was the thing in back then, you know? But that's the same thing that they did back then that we're doing now. You know,
Carl, let me ask you this too. 80,000 people in the state of Texas, they want this. They want to secede. How do you feel about that?
I feel like it's great. I mean, you know, if that's the thing that the federal government has done, it has took away all of the power of the state. They want to control it all. Where states were supposed to have their individual power, the federal government has stepped in and said, no, we're the supreme power. We dictate what happens in your state. And that's what brought about the secession the first time, was because the South, their money was going, and, you know, it's a North-South thing back then, of course, you know, but the money that was coming from cotton was king in the South. There was a lot of industry around cotton in the South. Tax money was going to Washington, and it benefited the North. It didn't come back South, any of the benefit from the federal government. And that's why states said, okay, we've had enough of this. Now, slavery was put on later on because they said, look, there's relatives in the North. There's relatives in the South. These people from the North are not going to go fight the people in the South. That's their relatives. That's their kinmen. That's their countrymen. If you don't put slavery on the table and do it that way, we're not ever going to have people go down there and try to make them come back into the Union. That's where slavery came about. And, you know, the thing about it is, you know, I mean, I drive the highways of this country, and the road system and everything else, the money that I pay in fuel taxes should be going back into the roadways, and I can't even hardly hold on to the truck sometimes.
Well, I know the feeling. I've driven on freeways, and I think sometimes my tire's going to fall off. Carl, thanks for that. I like your insight there. Might this be a wake-up call, Drew, to the federal government? Here's an example. States of Washington, of course, they decide in Colorado, they say, hey, let's legalize a small amount of marijuana. The federal government is still going to crack down on anybody who uses it. Do you think the federal government might say, hey, it's time for us to back away from the states on most of these issues?
It's going to take a significant reversal of momentum. The federal government has been growing in power and growing in intrusiveness and trampling over, maybe using too strong a language, other people would say not strong enough, but has been overtaking states' powers now for literally hundreds of years. Now that we see some states, whether it's the marijuana laws or whether it's Obamacare regulations that certain states are resisting, as states start to kind of this dying last gasp, say, wait a minute, we don't want the federal government controlling everything. I don't see the federal government just saying, oops, sorry, we've been wrong all along.
Let's go to Randy, Phoenix, Arizona, west of the Rockies. Randy, you're on with Drew Zahn. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you very much for letting me be on the air. I just got off the phone with Jan Brewer, our governor in the state of Arizona. First of all, I know of no state legislatures, either does she, that have sent in the petition for the state of Arizona.
No, I don't see Arizona, at least right now, I don't see Arizona.
There's already a petition started. This is online petitions. Many people from different states are signing multiple petitions. Texas has now 85,000 signatures.
That's right.
Now, I know of no governor or any state legislature that has sent any of this into the White House. The other thing you have mentioned is that Texas is a balanced budget. First of all, last year, Perry got $24.2 billion from the federal government through stimulus money for the state of Texas. Plus, he gets $6.4 billion a year from the federal government normally. Now, if the state of Texas has got such a balanced budget, why didn't they give us $30 billion to the federal government? Why instead of taking it back into their own state from the federal treasury? Can you answer that?
I can't. What about you, Drew?
Well, as far as the balance of the budget goes, that was the claim of the person who signed the petition. The other issue that the caller brings up, though, is legitimate. We are talking now. We're not talking about any legislatures who are taking any action.
Well, we've said that.
We're not talking about any state officials. We're just talking about individuals in these states who are making these petitions.
And maybe the mistake the White House did was putting on this technique for petitions.
Well, they created an opportunity for the discussion to happen, that's for sure.
You know, they sure did. They sure did. Randy, thanks for your call. Let's go to Josh, Athens, Alabama, first-time caller. Josh, go ahead. You're on with us.
Howdy, Mr. Norrie. How wonderful it is to get to talk to you.
All right. Thank you.
My question pertained to this massive list of people who signed their name to want to succeed from the union. Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen when these people can't get on a plane because they're on a no-fly list? I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
I mean, that would be interesting if they become their own countries. Will they need passports to enter the rest of the United States, Drew?
Almost certainly. Yes, we're talking about completely different nations. And by the way, just to add it, something we haven't had a chance to talk about just yet, there are also a couple of counter petitions on that same White House website.
Okay.
A couple of folks have started petitions saying that if you have signed one of these petitions, you ought to have your citizenship revoked and you ought to be deported from the country. So clearly there's some divergence of opinions.
Let's go to Drew in Albany, Georgia. Drew, you're on with Drew. Go ahead.
Hey, I've been noticing today all the Facebook chatter on there. A lot of people denigrating people, like he was just saying, by posting the anti-petitions, basically. And The thing I've been hearing people talk about for a while is, you know, if the economy goes to crap here and everything crashes, we might naturally see this happen with the states saying basically, you know, we're fed up with this and, you know, we can't survive because of the economy, and separating into possibly four or five different factions of the United States. Like they would get together for states that would cooperate, say like Florida, Georgia, Alabama, a couple other states, you know, the West Coast, maybe five states. We might actually see the United States split up into four or five different factions.
Well, that's always a possibility. There's no doubt about that. I mean, what if some states say, hey, we want to join Canada or we want to join Mexico? Is that conceivable, Drew?
Yeah, that's conceivable. I think the situation that the caller may be looking forward to is, well, not looking forward, but seeing down the road, is the possibility that we've got a federal government with a debt that has hit $16 trillion and little ability to repay that debt. If the federal government stops sending the money, can't give the money to the states anymore, the states could hit panic mode. And if they do that, who knows what could happen?
Well, that's true. State of Washington we go. It's David's turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, David. Thank you. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Love the show as always. I've been hearing talk about this all day on talk radio, and one thing I think is statistically it's insignificant. They say, oh, it's 40 states and all these people in there. And if you went to the states and could actually poll people, you would find people would be horrified at the idea of seceding from the United States. I think this also would be completely different, despite the claim that it has nothing to do with Obama, had Romney won. And had Romney won, we would have been hearing conservatives talking about, oh, yes, the United States has spoken and given a mandate, and we're going to do these sweeping changes now. And yet we don't hear that being said about Obama from the conservative side of the coin. But the one more interesting thing I think about it is I think about, you know, back in the days of the hippies, when I was a little kid, the line was, the anti-hippie line was, America, if you don't like it, leave it. I feel that way about America now, and I'm a screaming liberal. And these people, 500,000 people supposedly across America sitting around grumbling and going about and saying, we need to secede. I would like them to pack their bags and leave, because I think that they actually weakened the country instead of working for the betterment of everybody, for the greatest country in the world, in my opinion. And I'm a liberal saying that. So that's my thoughts on it. And I just think it's ridiculous and highly humorous. And I look forward to hearing more about the story. I'll get off the air now so someone else can get on.
All right. Super. Well, you know what? I've always said, spending 9 years in the Navy, Drew, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving this country. I'm not running away. And I'm sticking right here. And I would hope all these states do the same thing. But like you said, it's an unrest. It's a slow burn. It's like putting a frog in a little pot and you just cook him slowly. I think it's at a point where people are saying enough is enough. Let's start doing something for the people. Let's start doing something for the states. This, I think, is a wake-up call.
Well, certainly. And, again, the caller talked about people, you know, would they be willing to leave the country? Yeah, that's what secession is. That's exactly what they're talking about. They're saying, yes, I'm ready to pack my bags. I'm ready to leave. I need some land. I need somewhere where I can go and do that. And can enough of us get together in one place to do that, whether that's Texas or somewhere else? If they're serious about signing the petition, they're serious about saying, we really do believe that we can do better than the current federal government is doing in the United States.
It's Eric Stern, truck driving in Missouri, going east. Hey, Eric, go ahead.
How you doing, George? How you doing,
good,
Drew?
Sir. Very good.
Thank you. Hey, when you're all talking about this secession, Texas is in the driver's seat for this because they're the only state that joined the Union that was another country in 1847. All the rest of us were territories. And so when they joined the Union in 1847, they had a stipulation that they could leave anytime they wanted.
I wonder how many people know about that little clause.
Yeah. If you think about it, when we was a young country, we was all territories, Missouri Territory, the Wyoming Territory, and we had governorships. And Texas was its own country because it was the Lone Star. And when they joined in 1847, they was already a country. They wasn't a state. They was their own country because they took it from the Mexicans after the Alamo. And see, there was already a country in joined with us. And just like, like you were saying, the Soviet bloc, they had their own little countries, and they took them over. But Texas joined us, and they had in their stipulation, if we ever want to leave this union, we can. And so they all have to do is their legislature has to come up and say, well, our people are disgruntled with it, with the United States. We're leaving. And there's not a thing the United States can do about it.
Look in your crystal ball, Drew. How's this all going to unfold?
Well, you know, everything that he just said about Texas having been an independent country, that much is accurate. However, the stipulation that they can leave anytime they want to, I was reading just recently that that's a little bit of an urban myth. Now, I think some more research should be done on that before pronouncing it fully one way or the other. But as I look ahead, crystal ball, what I see is once you give these people a forum and a place to get together and a place to get talking, they may well band together. And it's that kind of banding together that it's not just an individual out here or out there, but we're talking tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. And obviously, there's all the people who haven't heard about this yet. But once they start getting together and talking, they become politically powerful and can actually affect some sort of change. That is what makes this topic so significant. It's not just some petition that got signed somewhere and that's all there is to it. No, it is the seeds of a growing movement. People starting to do things, starting to get serious enough to say, yeah, I really wish I could leave the United States. That's significant.
Would you say that most of the people who have signed these petitions would be on the conservative side and probably didn't vote for this president?
I suspect that's the case. And the initial petition came the day after the election. There's, you know, clue number one. Clue number two is that most of these petitions refer to the Declaration of Independence. That kind of looking back at our founding documents is certainly something that conservatives are more likely to do than liberals. So I'm guessing, you know, that you're seeing that. However, a number of these petitions are coming out of what we call blue states. So I don't know whether those are disenfranchised people who lost in their state or whether they're simply citizens who are seeing in one way or another, again, a federal government that is infringing now not only on states' rights, but individual rights as well.
You know, I feel this way, Drew, for example, about people who burn the American flag, that, you know, they have a right to do that because of our system of government. We've allowed you to do that. We've allowed your freedom of expression and speech. Go ahead, and if you want to burn the flag, go burn it. But I sure would love for them to leave the country. If they're going to burn the flag of the United States, then you know what? Get out. In this particular case, they don't want to leave the entire area. They just want to leave the federal government.
Well, again, I think when you talk about America, you have to ask yourself, what America are we talking about? These are people who, at least according to what they're professing in their petitions, are people who hold to the principles that the Founding Fathers laid down for America. That's the America that they're appealing to. That's the America they want to live in. And what they're saying is this current America, this current Washington, D.C., is not that America. They would love to wave the flag. They would love to be proud to be an American, except that America that they love so much, they're not seeing reflected in reality in D.C.
Drew, thank you for spending the hour with me. Fascinating. 40 states where people are petitioning. The states aren't doing this, but the people are. They want to secede. I don't think it'll happen. The particle at the end of the universe, that's next on Coast to Coast AM.